I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalm 146. This morning, is all about what this altar represents. The names, the prayers, the faithfulness of God in response to our faith exercised in Him. It's all about the harvest of blessing resulting from the investment of faith. And if you're taking notes, today's message is titled, Faithfully Yours Forever, God. It's like the end of a letter. Faithfully Yours Forever, comma, God. It is the way the Lord, figuratively speaking, signs all of His correspondence to us. It is the way the Lord answers all of our prayers. Faithfully Yours Forever, comma, God. And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 146, and we're going to look at verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, and I'm going to stop for just a couple words of commentary as we go. Psalm 146, verses 1 through 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. The Lord is worthy of our praise every day. I know you know that. I know you've heard that. But I want you to take a second, and I want you to think about that. And I want to say it again. The Lord is worthy of our praise every day. There isn't a day that arrives on our doorstep for which the Lord is not worthy of our praise. All of our lives, right now, if we stop, right here, He's already done more for us than we will ever, ever be able to fully realize or appreciate. Right here, right now, if you are a son or daughter of the living God, if you have accepted by faith the promise of eternal life, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we can stop right here and right now, and God has already done more for us than we will ever be able to realize or fully appreciate. In fact, the Scripture tells us that we will need all of eternity to begin to get our arms around what happened on that cross and what happened as a result of His resurrection. You see, we're only going to live a portion of the life that is ours here, a small portion. The rest of it will be lived in eternity. And throughout all of eternity, our eyes will be wide with wonder, and our hearts will be overflowing with delight. But then we'll see it all. We'll see Him face to face. Then there will no longer be any need to walk by faith. It will all be by sight then. This, here, now, this is the only chance we have. This is it. We won't get another one. When our eyes close in death, as our brother Tim Brennan's did, and they will one day, we will be looking, we will be with the Lord face to face, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the moment that we see Him, I am convinced that our hearts are only going to wish that we had done more while we were here. If we had just accessed by faith what we now see face to face, how might our lives have been different? If we had known then, Lord, what we know now, would our hearts have been drawn more to praise than they were? Would we have had a clearer vision of why the Lord is worthy of our praise every day, regardless of the stuff that's going on? He's worthy of our praise because of what's coming, as well as what is. Because right here and right now, we get to walk with him through this life. There will never be a day that arrives on your porch where you will have to face it alone. So the Lord is worthy of our praise every day, all our lives. It says in verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirits depart, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. When I think about this section of this passage, one little phrase comes to mind. Understand who really has your back. That's my paraphrase. Understand who really has your back. Because there are people who say they are there for you, but like Karen Carpenter says, if all my friends have forgotten half their promises, they're not unkind. Just hard to find. There are people who will say all kinds. Many a man professes his loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. So it says, don't trust in princes. And then there are those who really do mean to do us good. And they really have it in their hearts to be a blessing to us. And they have big plans, as it says, to do us good. But then something happens and their spirit departs and they're not there. And all the plans that they had, the scripture says, they come to nothing. No one can guarantee that they're going to be there for you, except the one who has always been and always will be. And so the scripture tells us here, don't put your trust in princes. Doesn't say don't allow others to care for you or become a hermit or an isolationist or rebuff people's desires to do us good. It says, do not put your trust in princes and mortal men who cannot save. It's just a fact. They can't save you. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. In verse 5, it says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord, who remains faithful forever. The Lord who remains faithful forever. Forever, forever, forever. Forever is a long time, brothers and sisters. And it says in the book of Revelation, forever and ever. And so when forever is over, we still got ever to go. It's a long time. And it says that he is faithful forever. Faithfully yours forever, God. I am faithfully yours forever, God. It says in verse 7, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless. and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. If you're taking notes, the main idea that I want you to capture from what I've already said and what I'm about to say, and from the text that we read, the main idea is this: because the Lord is forever faithful, because the Lord is forever faithful, we are forever secure. Because the Lord is forever faithful, we are forever secure. Listen to this for a moment. You will never, throughout all of eternity, starting today — actually, it started before today, but let's start today — you will never be more secure, more cared for, or more loved than you are at this present moment. You will never be more loved or secure or cared for than you are at this moment. In fact, I mean, a day is coming when you will feel it more and not have to fight for it more, because you won't have the flesh and the world and the devil suggesting that you're not cared for and that you're not secure. But in fact, you will never be more secure than you are right now. You will never be more loved than you are right now. You will never be more cared for than you are right at this moment. Because the Lord has no more to give you. He's giving you all he's got right now. Our filters prevent us from being able to fully experience it. Our flesh prevents us from being able to fully accept it, which is why one day these old shells will fall away and we'll get a new body and we'll be able to fully internalize what is in fact ours today. But we can rest that I am secure because God is forever faithful. And anything that suggests that I am not secure is not truth. It's a lie. And it is not coming from above. You see, we have an enemy. We're not just skipping through our lives unfettered, unfazed, and unattacked. There is an enemy. And the scripture says that he roams about seeking someone to devour. And he can't devour you by attacking you, but he can devour you by deceiving you. You have to take the bait, in other words. He can't force feed you. He can't strap you down and make you ingest the lie. We have to receive the lie. We have to say yes. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. In order for him to defeat you, he has to defeat the living God. And so all he's been reduced to just a mouth. That's all he is. But it's a wicked mouth. And it is a tricky mouth. It is an insidious mouth. And it is a mouth that has wreaked all kinds of destruction on mankind. Because as Martin Luther said, on earth, there is no equal to him. Not on earth. Not on earth. We can't beat him in our flesh, in our own strength. But greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So because the Lord is forever faithful, we are forever secure. And I like this passage here, 7 through 10, you know, you look at the people that the Lord is coming to the rescue of. It says the oppressed, the hungry, prisoners, aliens, fatherless, the widow. You know, what do all of these people that the Lord comes, what do they all have in common? What is the common denominator of all of them? They are all needy. They are all needy. The Lord loves needy. And we are all needy. Amen. And the neediest among us are those who believe they're not needy. I want to read something from my journal. I just had an encounter with someone whose life and present condition affirms my conviction that it's not how much one earns, how educated one may be, or the home in which one lives, or even how few mistakes one has made that makes the difference between the joy of life and misery, or makes one person's situation better than another. The only superior position one human being has to another, the only superior position one human being has to another is being in Christ. And that is no reason to boast, because it's a gift from above, available to all simply for the asking. It is superior not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Not because of the religious rules of Christianity, but because of the reality of His living presence in our lives. Each day, knowing Him personally and with ever-growing intimacy is the difference, is the difference. Not what we possess, not what we've achieved, not how virtuously we have lived, not how attractive we are, not how much acclaim we have, not how well we are succeeding in the metrics of the world. Knowing Him personally and with ever-growing intimacy is the practical difference in what is truly a rise in the quality of our lives. Amen. Everything else is just window dressing. It's cosmetics. It's empty. It has no life. So being in Christ is a superior position. But the Lord came not for the righteous. He came for the unrighteous. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. He came for the people, as a dear brother who wrote the book, The Ragamuffin Gospels, that He came for those whose cheese is falling off their cracker. He came for those who are not all tightly and woven together, have no cracks in the masonry. He came for the needy, and we see this in the psalm that we're reading. Again, the oppressed and the poor and the hurting. Luke 1:53 says, He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. In the words of the famous preacher D.L. Moody, the Lord sends no one away empty, except those who are full of themselves. Okay. Lord sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. And it doesn't mean that you've got a bad self-image. Actually, you've got an accurate self-image. You recognize that apart from Him, I can do nothing. You recognize that everything I have comes from Him. You recognize, what do I have that I did not receive? And so it gives you a proper self-image. He created me. I didn't create myself. I need Him. I need Thee every hour I need Thee. And it doesn't mean you can't have a successful career. doesn't mean that you can't have a comfortable life. It's more difficult because the distractions are greater and the temptation to be self-reliant is greater, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. Because what the Lord is talking about here, talks about the poor and the needy, you know, there's some mean poor folks. Being poor doesn't make you virtuous, okay? I grew up around, there's some mean poor folks. There's some mean oppressed people. Some mean blind people. So it has nothing to do with the physical state as much as it is what the physical state renders within the spiritual person. So it's easier for people who are not glamorized by the world to see their neediness. But what the Lord is after, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit means realizing that the most precious things in life, the most precious things in life, intimacy with Him, as we've been praying, love, biblical love from above, and the recognition of the spiritual gifts and that God wants to use my life and seeing Him working in me, through my spiritual gifts and through my resources, seeing the divine use of my life. Those things. Those are the precious things. Those are the things that we can't get on our own. Those are the things that cause us to be broken. Because you see, it doesn't matter how smart you are. Smart doesn't get you intimate with God. It doesn't matter how much stuff you got. Stuff doesn't make you more loving. It doesn't matter how clever you are and how well plugged in you are and how useful you are to the world. Being useful to the world is not the same as being used by the Almighty God. Those are two different things. You don't even need God to be useful to the world. But to accomplish the purposes of the divine hand, to follow the living God and to give your life to an eternal purpose that will go beyond this realm, we need to be poor in spirit. We need that from Him. We can't get that on our own. And when we recognize that, it makes us poor in spirit. It makes us humble. It makes us desperate. It makes us needy. And the Lord loves needy. Because, see, grace only exists to meet human need. Where there is no human need, there's no need for grace. By definition, it exists for only one purpose. To meet human need, human neediness. So our present condition, brothers and sisters, wherever you are right now, where we are as a church, where you are as an individual, our present condition, this place, right here, right now, this is a bountiful place. Where we are, right here, right now, is a place of abundance. Brothers and sisters, lift up your heads and praise the Lord for where you are, personally. Right here. Lift up your heads, brothers and sisters. Lift up your heads to our faithful God, because where you are right now is in a place of abundance. You don't have to wait until your ship comes in. You're in a place of abundance right now, brother and sister. There may be things you want. There may be things you need. But guess what? There will always be things you want. And there will always be things you need. And if you're waiting to celebrate your abundance when you get what you want and when you get what you need, you're never going to celebrate because there's always going to be more. Lift up your hands and celebrate your abundant place right here and right now. And it's abundant because our God is faithful. And he's faithful all the time. He's not going to be more faithful tomorrow than he is today. He's not going to care about you anymore tomorrow than he cares about you today. He's not more vigilant over your life tomorrow than he is today. So today, right here, right now, celebrate as though that thing that you want is already here. Celebrate it as though it's already here. When we encounter a different situation, when we encounter a different challenge, it's healthy to think of it this way. Lord, thank you. I don't like the way this feels. I didn't court this situation. I didn't covet this situation. But Lord, it is what it is. It is what it is. And you are who you are. And who you are is faithful. And so where I am right now, whether I like it or not, this is just another wing that you're opening up to this place. Another wing of your faithfulness to me. So Valley Brook, the Lord has opened up another wing of faithfulness. And we're in it right here and right now with our faithful God. Now I'm gonna go on. Because there's some takeaways I want you to, some specific ones, in addition to what I said that I want you to take away. When we think about the Lord's forever faithfulness, I want you to think of him being faithful in three areas here. Just, there could be 15,000, right? But my heart is on these three, and I want to give them to you. First of all, he's faithful with our deposits of faith. Every time we deposit our faith through prayer, every time we deposit our faith with him, he is faithful with our deposits of faith. Every time, not sometimes, every time. 1 year ago today, our leadership team prayed together for the first time about our faith vision of 2014 that we represented here with our stone altar. It was 1 year ago this very day that at the Fellowship Center we as a leadership team prayed together about the faith vision for 2014. And it was so inspiring. I remember it. The Lord just united our hearts. And there was such joy in the room. I remember Sister Dina praying. And while she was in prayer, she said, I just want to burst out of here and run into the streets.
No, that's right. My goodness. Yeah.
I just want to get out of here and run into the streets shouting. And as she considered the things that we were praying about, intimacy with the Lord and love for one another and the Lord developing our understanding of how specially he has designed us and the effects he wants to bring forth. As she meditated on that, she said, it's not just about church. This is a vision for our lives. And I feel like I've just been given a big secret. And we were all, amen. Y'all remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. I was so encouraged. I was so encouraged that the Lord just shifted our hearts together, all together, to a focus of faith. Anything that we sacrifice, quote unquote, for the Lord is really not a sacrifice at all, brothers and sisters. It's an upgrade. But I was just so touched in that moment by how God just collectively brought us all into this one place of genuine belief and faith. And after that glorious gathering, I wanted to run and hide because it was so magnificent and it was so special that I felt like, God, I can't sustain this thing. And you know what the Lord said? It's not yours to sustain. We went shopping and you looked at an outfit that was too big for you. And I need to remind you that that's not your outfit. You step aside, baby. That's for me. And I celebrate the grace of God that He sustained our vision. That He sustained it in each one of us. So God is faithful with every deposit of faith. You prayed about something and nothing happened. There's a lot of something and nothing. God is faithful with our faith. Faithful with every deposit. And if we realize that, see, one day you're going to see Him. That's right. One day you're going to see Him as clearly as you're seeing me, clearer. And He's going to be looking at you face to face. You face to face. Eyeball to eyeball with the living God. How He's going to do that with all of us? He fills heaven and earth. But every one of us is going to have a personal encounter. It's not going to be everybody. Just y'all come and He's going to speak from the auditorium to everybody. It's individually, just as He does now. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us. We don't have to go to a central location and have the Holy Spirit address everybody. He's addressing each one of us. And see, it's going to be that way in heaven, only more so because we'll have the physical connection with Him as well as the spiritual. So one day, He's going to look at you. One day, you're going to have an eyeball-to-eyeball contact and a heart-to-heart communication. And every prayer, every praise, every investment of faith, you will see that none of it was wasted. You will see that. If we realize that right here, right now, before we got there, how would it affect our comportment here? How would it affect our communication with God right here and now? How would it affect our perspective right here and now to believe that God is faithful with every deposit of faith? And just because it feels like my prayer spiraled up like a helicopter and hit the ceiling and crashed doesn't mean that that's what in fact happened. Because the scripture says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. But it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder. And your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So every deposit of faith, every faith-fueled action, brothers and sisters, whether anybody else notices it, whether anybody else responds to it, if they don't say thank you, every faith-inspired action, the scripture says, your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And I believe that. I believe one day we're going to see Him. And He's going to show us what was really going on when we made that deposit. He's going to show us what it was attached to. He's going to show the impact that it had in this life. And the reverberation that it had throughout our lives. He's going to show my mother, Emma Mae Beatty, when she prayed for Danny. And when she said to me when I was a student in college, and she took my hand and would just say in the simple words, Danny, keep your hands in God's. She didn't know a lot of Bible, but she knew that. Keep your hand in God's hand. Keep God first in your life, son. Just keep God first in your life. She couldn't quote Genesis, couldn't quote Matthew, couldn't quote Ephesians. But she knew the living God, and she, by faith, commended me to his grace. So God is faithful. Secondly, he's a faithful deliverer of each day. You're here today because God faithfully delivered it. Told the Lord a couple days ago, I said, Lord, only you know the full contents of this crate that arrived on my doorstep this morning, labeled today. I said, only you have perfect knowledge of what to do with each item and what is its purpose. So I trust you, Lord, and I depend on your guidance as each piece of today is unwrapped throughout the day. And I thank you in advance, Lord, for your patience as I attempt to understand and properly use these pieces. Every day is a gift that God gives to each one of us. And nobody's day is identical to another person's. It's an individually marked crate that lands on your porch with your name on it saying, today. And the Lord is faithful to deliver them. Right now, the Lord has been faithful to give us 12 hours and 25 minutes of January 25th. And every minute of it has been a gift. Some of it you were sleeping through. But the Lord is a faithful deliverer of each day. And so we thank him for his faithfulness. I thank him every single morning. Every single morning I say, Lord, thank you for today. And I call them expos. Thank you for expo. January 25th, because there are going to be sights, there are going to be sounds, there's going to be attractions, there's going to be food, there's going to be fun, there's going to be people, all this stuff is going to be going on in Expo January 25th. Thank you, and thank you for meeting me at the gate and greeting me with a smile and swinging the gate open and promising to escort me through and to be my guide and to point stuff out. Thank you for Expo 25. While I'm at it, I want to thank you for Expo 24. I want to thank you for the blessings of yesterday. I want to thank you that my wife brought that sandwich to me when I was hungry. I want to thank you for that phone call that I had with that brother. I want to thank you that I could sit down here in my favorite chair and watch my favorite team lose. I want to thank you for those messages of warmth and truth and encouragement that I got from reflecting on your truth. Thank you. Thank you for all of that. Because that came from you. Everything, every good gift, every good thing and every perfect gift comes from above. Didn't just happen. And Lord, I also thank you for the things that went sideways. And the stuff that toppled over on top of me. Because you're still faithful. You see, that wasn't something that slipped by you. You didn't go to, you know, the restroom or something and then that happened while you were gone. Or you were asleep, you know, dozing, and that happened. Thank you for delivering today, Expo January 25th. Because, Lord, nothing is guaranteed. I know that. I thank you for what I've had today, but I know nothing is guaranteed. I am not guaranteed to see the end of this day. I've got all kinds of ideas about what I want to do with the rest of the day, but I'm not guaranteed the rest of this day. The good news is that if I don't finish out this day, I know where I'm going. That's the good news. But as you know, some of you may know, this very day is the first anniversary of the death of those two young people who were gunned down in the Columbia Mall. Made national news, the greatest tragedy in Howard County, Columbia, Howard County history, actually, in terms of a mass kind of an event like that. Brianna Benlolo and Tyler Johnson. Young folks, no longer with us, 1 year later. See, departing this life has nothing to do with age. I keep saying it. Has nothing to do with age. You think, well, boy, I'm too young. No, you're not. Who told you that? Where did you read that? So we thank God. We hold every moment sacred. Thirdly, he's a faithful director of all my choices. Whoa. He's a faithful director of all my choices, my wise ones and my stupid ones. He is a faithful director of all my choices. I tell you the story of I got a text yesterday from someone that I'd been trying to get in touch with for a while, and I hadn't been successful. But I'll tell you the story briefly of what happened. There were a number of years ago when you've heard me say to you, boy, I've gone through some stuff, and I've had my life challenges. And when I say that, I mean that I have not arrived at this place in my journey without experiencing some sucker punches, body blows, judo chops, being run over by a few trucks. I may not look worse for the wear, but, you know, that's my outside. And some of that looks worse for the wear. But I remember being in a spot where I was evaluating or reevaluating whether or not I wanted to be a pastor. I was having a hard enough time being a Christian. And the only reason why I was guaranteed to keep going with that was because it wasn't up to me.
Wow.
But being a pastor was optional. And I remember going through therapy and talking to my therapist about whether or not I wanted to continue. It was just too much. Couldn't please anybody. Couldn't please, you know, you went left, and everybody wants you to go right. You went right, everybody wants you to go left. You split yourself in half, they want you to split yourself in thirds. There's nothing you could do. And then my own issues in terms of just my own growth and moving from one spiritual paradigm to another. And then relationships and all kinds of stuff. It was a mess. And I decided I got to get some air. I have got to get some ventilation, some new circulation going on. I need some external thing to do. So I'm going to enhance my guitar playing by taking some guitar lessons. Nothing big, nothing fancy. I'm just going to seek out somebody to do some jazz stuff. So I took guitar lessons. I had a great relationship with my guitar teacher. I didn't tell him what I did, didn't tell him who I was, didn't tell him I was a Christian, didn't want him to know. Didn't tell him I was a pastor, didn't want him to know, didn't talk about God, didn't do nothing. I'm incognito. I'm on vacation. I'm taking a break from spiritual stuff. Okay? And he was a great teacher. He's a great teacher. He used to swear and thump and say all kinds of stuff, and he was really good at teaching. I didn't want him to limit all that because I was a pastor or a Christian. I wanted the full flavor of who he was, and I wanted my money's worth. I want your best instruction, and I want to play some George Benson. I don't want to just play the old Rugged Cross. Don't pull that out just because I'm a Christian. I want the full, I want it all. So I was incognito. And we had a great relationship. It was fun and everything. And one day we're sitting down and he says, "So tell me, what do you think about God?" We did not have a spiritual relationship. I mentioned nothing spiritual. I did not wear a "What Would Jesus Do" t-shirt. I didn't have any insignia. I had no communication whatsoever that suggested at all that I had anything to do with God. But he just out of the blue one day says, "So what do you think about God?" And I thought, "Oh my Lord, you found me here." And I was determined that I was only going to tell him just a little bit. And so I determined to just tell him a little bit. And so I started, and then the floodgates opened, and I shared my entire testimony with him and the rest of the gospel, and he said, "That is fantastic. I have been thinking about this. This is so good." And right there, right then, he opened up his heart and he invited the Lord into his life. Right there and then. Right there and then. Go figure. So I got a text from him yesterday. And he said, "I'm sorry that we lost touch, brother." He said, "I'd really like to get back together with you." He said, I just lost touch, and I'm really sorry. I'd love to reconnect." And he said, "Brother, again, you know." And this is a white brother. So he wasn't talking about soul brother. He was saying, "Brother in Christ." And I was just, it brought back to mind how God is a faithful manager of all our choices. Even when we think we're deciding one thing, the Lord has a way of taking that one thing and making it something completely different. We think we're going east, but we're actually heading west. We got turned around. Or we think we're running away from something that's west, and we meet it going east. Because God is a faithful director of our choices. I'm glad I'm not a Packers fan today. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But I, you know what? I prayed for that guy, that tight end. I did, because I thought, this guy is not going to sleep. For those of you who watch the game, they lost in an excruciating way. And I just thought, you know what, Lord, I don't know if that guy is a believer or not. But I hope he is. And if he is, I know you're going to use that detail. You see, you're going to use that because you were up to something more than the Super Bowl. You see, and this is how God is. I wrote in my journal, I said, "Okay, Lord, you know, there are no insignificant or irrelevant events in our lives. There are none. There's no such thing as insignificant or irrelevant. Even trivial matters are tools in his hand which sculpt the smallest details into the masterpiece of the you that he is creating." So he's faithful with our faith deposits. He's faithful to deliver each day, and he's faithful to direct our choices. And that is why he is faithfully and forever ours. Amen. And all of this, all that we have is ours for one reason. And it's because Christ made it possible. It's because of what he sacrificed for us on the cross and by raising from the dead that brought us into this faithful relationship with our Creator. And so we're going to take some time here to have communion very quickly, and then we're going to have our special offering. And I will give you directions for that, and we'll coordinate that after we have communion. So if we can get the band to come forward and ushers pass out the cup.